When the hell does the baseball season begin anyway, huh?
It's not going to, Harry. It's not going to.
Not so sure.
But the Dave and Darren Top 5 Things podcast is about to begin. So we got that going for us, which is nice. Thanks so much for downloading and subscribing to Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. I'm Dave. This is my partner, Darren.
And the podcast is brought to you by the good people at Capriotti's Sandwich Shop on 53rd Street in Davenport, home of the Quad City's best cheesesteak, and now the Impossible Cheesesteak. Remember that any time is a good time to get Capriotti's gift cards because everybody loves Capriotti's.
I got half a Bobby in the fridge right now.
I hate you.
I think I'm going to go crack that open while we enjoy the top five things. Where do you want to start today?
How about number one?
Number one.
We're all into what we're all into. And I just want to say there's no judgment here, although there's going to be plenty of judgment here. But I think if we're all being honest with ourselves, we all are into things. We all have our little kinks, our little predilections. There's a story here from Thailand of a guy with an unhealthy shoe obsession. And again, I don't have any axe to grind here. Do your thing as long as you're not hurting other people. Obsessed. Where this guy crosses the line is other people get involved.
Obsessed with shoes in what way?
Well, an unhealthy obsession with shoes has this guy now behind bars. He stole more than 100 pairs of a very specific type of shoe. This guy's into flip-flops. Had to have the flip-flops. I believe in other parts of the world they call them tongs.
Right.
We used to call them tongs when I was a kid growing up.
Salad tongs.
Tongs. You ever call them tongs? They're just flip-flops.
Yes, tongs.
Police in central Thailand knew something was screwy when they kept getting calls from all over town saying, hey, my shoes are missing. And then they started looking at some security cameras, and they found this guy, Thirapat Kalaya. This dude's 24 years old. He was filmed lurking outside his latest victim's home. Authorities were able to apprehend him on Monday at his rented dwelling. And when they kicked down the door, they found 126 pairs of flip-flops that he admitted that he had stolen over the last 2 years. The alleged footwear fetishist described how he would wear the sandals. Every make, every size, it didn't matter to him. It wasn't like, well, I'm a size 9, that's what I'm into. He'd take them all. He would wear them around the house, and that would arouse him. He would get aroused
knowing that
walking around the house
that he had
in other people's flip-flops.
I shouldn't have these.
That was just the foreplay, you see. Thirapat would then caress and kiss the flip-flops. Then he would strip down and rub the flip-flops all over his naked body. And then things get weird. Then he told police he would, his words now, make love to the sandals. Once he was done ravaging the flip-flops.
How much information do the cops need? Right. Can't you stop this guy at some point? It's like, that's enough. The fact that you illegally took these is all we needed to know.
No, this is my story. This is my song, and you're going to listen to it. What I would do, you see, is I'd walk around in the shoes, and then I would slap myself all over my naked body. Then I would make love to the sandals, and once I was done with them, I'd toss them aside and look for the new sandal, right? He didn't, like, fall in love with them. This guy is a real love him and leave him. He would bang the sandal once, and then he'd be done with it, but not done with it in a way that he would get rid of it, which would have probably been smart, because, you know, when the cops kick down your door and there's 126 pairs of sandals, and 125 of them at least have one thing in common, he's made love to them.
So one night stands with these things.
Yeah. Yeah. He would kiss them, strip down and rub them all over his naked body, and then make love to him. So,
but just the one time.
Yes.
And then I'm done.
He would look for a new pair right after he got done. Exactly.
But he wouldn't get rid of them.
They're calling him the Sandal Vandal. Admitting to 3 charges of nighttime theft and a crime over there they call snatching. guilty of snatching. That's like stealing.
Yes.
That's not.
I get it. Yeah. I snatched.
That's
something.
Not using a flip flop for.
No.
Yeah. He admitted all of this at a police press conference.
I'm going to need a press conference on top of
where
it all.
Where his massive shoe collection was on full display.
Behind him?
Yep. Hey, everybody, I got arrested. Boy. I made love to all of these sandals behind me.
I want to thank everyone, including the Thailand Police Department. I never thought it was going to get this good.
The Thailand Police Department. You know, you dream a dream.
Like if I got arrested, I would be thanking the American Police Department.
Thank you to the American Police for apprehending me.
And allowing me to have this press conference. I love the backdrop.
That's what the backdrop is.
Yeah.
It's just all the sandals he's snatched and made love to. Also found guilty of possessing a digital receiver without permission and violating the coronavirus curfew. He'll be held at the police station there until his next court date, and then prosecutors will decide what to do with this guy.
I'm not going to lie to you. This is a dream for me.
By the way, not the first time he's gotten in trouble for stealing shoes. The police chief, Major Colonel over there, saying, quote, "We also found out that he had already been arrested last year for stealing flip-flops in another district." So this cat is into some very specific
stuff. A lot of people wearing flip-flops.
Well, it's Thailand.
Yes, okay.
Right? I mean, I imagine that's all they wear. They're not walking around in Doc Martens in Thailand.
Fish where there's fish, I guess.
Right, right. I mean, if you're going to make love to flip-flops, you're not doing it in Antarctica.
No.
This guy's into what he's into.
Barrow, Alaska.
I just love the idea of having him give a press conference.
What are they doing?
Any questions? That,
I don't think you guys are asking the right questions. I'm going to...
So then the press conference just becomes this weirdo taking shots at the press for not... for not understanding what's going on.
You don't know how perverse this is. I am deeply flawed.
I've got issues. Number two. Let me ask you this. If you were to break into a bank, I love movies where it's a, you know, like a heist movie, mm-hmm. where they're trying to figure out ways to break into a bank. Always a good trope where, you know, the
inside man.
The gangsters are working like at the store next door, digging underneath.
Right.
That's always fun. Where they have like a fake business and they bought it across the street from the bank and they're digging a tunnel underneath. But if you, Darren, were to break into a bank, what would be reasons for doing that? Why would you want to break into a bank?
Why would I do that?
Mm-hmm. Don't overthink this.
I need money.
Okay. So to steal money would be...
maybe to get some... money.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking, like, I like to make lists because it helps me kind of make sense of world. And when I came up with the list of reasons to break into a bank, I'm stuck at number one. I need money. That's it. That's all I have.
You don't need the reason why I need the money. You don't need an
excuse.
No. You don't need
excuse. No, that's not at all.
That's not what you're looking for.
No, but that's maybe more fun than where this is going to go. If it's a dog day afternoon situation, someone needs a surgery. Attica. No, it's nothing like that. I'm just saying the reasons to break into a bank for me and my rather limited imagination, and it seems like you have the same problem I have. The only reason you break into a bank is you want to steal money. That's it.
Yes, you might not even need the money, but you want the money.
Yes, right, right. A guy in San Diego's in the news. I broke into a Wells Fargo bank, and his reason for breaking in, different than the reasons that you or I were able to come up with. Yeah. We go to News 10 San Diego for this story, because not only do they tell the story the best, he actually speaks to News 10.
To explain himself?
Well, here's a little
He gets a press conference, too.
Yeah, this is another criminal that gets to talk to the press about his crimes. This is, again, in San Diego. Guy breaks into a Wells Fargo, and the reason he did it, well, that's what we're talking about. It's...
there as he was being taken into custody. The man explained to us that it wasn't the safe that he was after, it was the bank's microwave.
You did that for a Hot Pocket?
Yes. Oh, that for a Hot Pocket.
You broke into a bank for a Hot Pocket?
Hot Pocket.
For a Hot Pocket. Was it worth it?
Hell yeah, it's worth it. Yeah, it's worth it. A Hot Pocket? Hell yeah.
Broke into the bank to heat up his Hot Pockets. He had a Hot Pocket. He needed a microwave oven. He suspected they had one there at the bank. So he broke into the bank
to microwave his HP.
To heat up the Hot Pockets. And the best part of this is when he actually does the Jim Gaffigan, you know, sings the jingle.
You did that for a Hot Pocket?
Yes. Oh, that for a Hot Pocket.
You broke into a bank for a Hot Pocket.
Hot Pocket.
Hot Pocket. Was it worth it?
Hell yeah, it's worth it. Yeah, it's worth it. A Hot Pocket? Hell yeah.
Hell yes, it's worth it to break into a bank for a Hot Pocket. But did you hear that he sang the jingle there?
Yeah.
Hot Pocket.
He couldn't stop himself.
He's giving that press conference, by the way, as a policeman wearing a mask is cuffing him and stuffing him in the back of a squad car.
Mm-hmm.
They're asking him some questions, the press.
He didn't consider breaking into a place that you wouldn't get in as much trouble.
Or going to a convenience store. I've been to convenience stores in San Diego, and let me tell you something. They've got microwave ovens.
They do.
Yes.
And the doors are typically open.
There are convenience stores. I have been at a 7-Eleven in San Diego at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I've heated up a burrito there. It's super easy to do. Now, can you not get... Are Hot Pockets not licensed or labeled for individual sales? Is that something you can't get at a convenience store? Do you have to buy the box of
Hot Pockets? Hot Pockets are available, aren't they? Individual Hot Pockets?
They should be.
Yeah.
If they're not, then you're missing a golden opportunity.
Now, he didn't steal the Hot Pocket from the bank, right?
Well, I don't... No, they wouldn't have Hot Pockets available at a Wells Fargo bank.
Well, it's possible that they would in the lounge.
He just... wanted.
There's not a refrigerator? You don't think there's a refrigerator at the bank?
I think that his story is he had a Hot Pocket and he just wanted the
microwave. I understand that. But if someone was to bring up to him the possibility of not breaking into, not necessarily even having to break into anywhere, but going to a convenience store, I wonder if that would have blown his mind.
I mean,
what? Oh. That is a good idea.
Yes. Oh, that for a Hot Pocket.
You broke into a bank for a Hot Pocket.
Hot Pocket.
For a Hot Pocket. Was it worth it?
Hell yeah, it's worth it. Yeah, it's worth it. A Hot Pocket? Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's when he sings the Hot Pocket song that it really kind of grabs you there. He has not been identified. He did tell us that he is homeless, and the police say that the burglar alarm went off around 3:30 this morning. The alarm company called police and said that they were watching the suspect inside the break room, hiding and cooking something in the microwave. Man told us and officers that he ate two Hot Pockets, and they left him parched. He is now in police custody.
So he did eat two Hot Pockets, and then he was able to tell the people at News 10 in San Diego, you know, after those two Hot Pockets, I'm a little thirsty.
But he was capable of breaking into a bank.
Yes. But again, the footage shows him using the microwave oven there in the break room. So his story, this isn't like he's saying, no, I wasn't trying to steal money. I was really...
Oh, yeah.
He legitimately was there to cook up a Hot Pocket. Hot Pocket! How many times do you think this morning is Jim Gaffigan having to look at this story? They're just sending it to him in mass now.
If you play that again,
yeah,
doesn't it sound like someone's singing with him?
I think one of the cops.
Does one sings, of the cops yeah. sings with him?
Because when he sings it, one of the cops is singing along.
Okay,
with him. Yeah, you're right to pick up on that.
It's not just him.
He's off camera.
Yes,
but there are two people singing the Hot Pocket jingle. Like they can't help themselves.
No, they're exactly
Hot Pockets.
And once one starts, the other one's going to join in.
Right. This guy's telling the media there in San Diego. He's saying
so. It sounds as though, in the form of song,
yes,
that the cops believe him.
They certainly do. Yeah, the cops are not. This is in terms of like getting arrested. It all seems pretty jovial. Like you can't see the officer that's putting him into the squad car has a mask on. I guarantee you there's a smile underneath that mask.
It doesn't sound like he's going to get charged for armed robbery.
No, just for breaking into a bank.
Breaking and entering.
But, I mean, they have the footage of him just eating Do you have any other statements for the press? Yes, after those two hot pockets, I'm parched. I could sure use something to wash down these hot pockets. I hope they let me have a drink from the fountain once I get to prison.
That shouldn't be a problem.
Number three.
Yesterday, the launch of that rocket was dominating the news. People very excited about that rocket ship going up into outer space. The face you just made as I was talking about the rocket is, I feel like we're having the same thoughts. Because as we were getting excited, my son was very excited. I guess I hadn't realized this. He's 11. His entire life, we've never sent a man into outer space from American soil. That's never happened. So he was like, oh, when's this? We're hearing a lot about this rocket. Let's watch this rocket. And then we're watching it and watching the National Geographic coverage of it as they're talking about the launch and all of this. And I am just filled instantly with an overwhelming anxiety. Like, you know, with the way everything's going.
It got too foggy, right?
Yeah, they ended up canceling the launch or at least postponing it until Saturday. But I'm thinking, just given how 2020 is going.
Yeah.
I was filled with this sense of dread, like, we're about to watch these two guys get blown up. Now, I hope I'm wrong, but just given how the year is going.
And these guys are professional astronauts?
Yeah, that's how that works.
Well, I'm asking because...
Why do you think they want a raffle? Why would they get sent to outer space? Who do you think goes to outer space?
Well, whoever pays for it.
No, these are astronauts.
These are astronauts.
Yes.
Sanctioned astronauts.
Although their astronaut suits just look like they got them at Target.
Well, that's what I thought.
I mean, the rocket ship looked dinky.
And
they just looked like it was just like a cool costume party.
To me, they looked like more average people.
Just a couple of dudes.
They looked like more average people than your typical astronaut. That's why I asked.
Well, maybe that's how it should look. Like, if we're all going to be going into outer space, maybe it needs to be a little bit more chill and a little bit more. It just
even the suits. You're right. The suits looked like they were.
They look like their moms made the suits. Like they were in a play.
Yes.
And mom threw together an outfit for them. That doesn't look like what an astronaut should be wearing.
Nothing ever happens.
Right? It seemed very...
Yeah, it's like, okay, we've got this community theater here, and we're going to put on a play about astronauts.
It's this dinky little rocket. That's the same pad where we sent a man to the moon and we sent all those people into outer space. And then this thing just looks like it's this dinky little nothing. And these two are sitting in there.
You're sure they didn't win a raffle?
That's not how it works. The return of human spaceflight from U.S. soil was supposed to be the big event yesterday, and it got called off. A mission called Demo 2. I don't care for the name Demo 2, by the way.
No!
Because demo sounds like demolition, demolish.
And so they're just going to go up for a little while and come back, huh? Is that the idea?
This will be the first time humans are carried into orbit by a commercial aerospace company. Yeah.
They're just going to make a couple laps? Is that the idea?
I believe the term is orbit.
Okay. All right. You want to get technical.
Laps. Well. What are they going to run a couple laps up in space? How does that work? Yes.
You want to call them orbits, fine.
I didn't come up with that term. That's what it's called.
If you want to get all scientific on me.
So are they going to go up there and just do some laps? They get on
well,
the
how
treadmill?
Long are they going to be gone?
Up into outer space?
Yeah. I mean, are we knocking this out in an afternoon?
Yeah,
what's the thing?
Just get it done.
Just I'll be home by dinner. There's no reason to bring any Tang.
Tell my wife I love her. She knows. They're going to try again on Saturday at 2:22 our time.
2:22.
Yeah, 2:22 in the afternoon. That's the next attempt when astronauts Bob Behnken and Doug Hurley. It's Bob and Doug.
That doesn't sound like they don't.
Go, 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 go.
You can tell me that they're astronauts.
Hey, I'm astronaut Bob. This is my buddy astronaut Doug. And we're going in outer space for a couple laps. No biggie.
We'll be back.
The launch got scrubbed because the weather wasn't very good.
Yeah, foggy.
So they had to do what they call the scrub sequence, where you take all of the propellant out of the rocket. That seems like a lot of work.
Yeah.
You put all that gas in the rocket, and then you take it out just to put it back in on Saturday? What is that? Worth pointing out, too, these cats have been in quarantine since March because they didn't want them to get the COVID before they went into outer space.
Right. Well, they'll remain in
In
quarantine.
Right. We were watching The Crown, and it's to the point where...
What is The Crown?
The Crown is a Netflix show all about Queen Elizabeth II.
Uh-huh.
And the last episode was, you know, we send the men to the moon... And Prince Philip, who is the husband to the queen over there.
Yes.
He's like, oh, these guys are extraordinary. This is amazing. I can't believe these guys. And then they come over and they have a meeting. And he's like, what a bunch of dummies these astronauts are.
What?
They're no better than me. It's something else. He's like, I have so many questions for you. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it was cool and everything.
Well, they didn't build the rocket. I mean, maybe you're talking to the wrong people.
Do you know what the plan was?
What is the plan?
The astronauts.
What are you going to do?
This is a Chew Dragon spacecraft, they call it. And before every mission, I guess it's a superstition, after launch, everyone at NASA, once the rocket goes up into space, and this is something they used to do back in the space shuttle days.
Uh-huh.
After you launch a rocket when you work at NASA,
yes,
everybody gets together and they have a big bowl of chili.
Huh.
After launch, they have big bowls of chili.
So they've got someone brings in a bunch of crock pots.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You plug them in.
In the space shuttle days, they used to just eat the beans. And now they've decided, why don't we have a little meat in the chili? This is something that they would do.
It's
a superstition, I guess.
It's not really chili season.
Mm-hmm. And for every launch, they say, 30 minutes before the launch, they bring out a big box of popcorn, and everyone has to eat a handful of popcorn before they launch the rocket. So that's something that they do. And then they have have chili.
That sounds like the sort of thing that could like muck up your computers.
Right.
Or your monitors,
right.
Or any sort of controls.
Right. Are we go for ignition? And like, hang on, I got some kernels in my teeth. Yeah, their costumes are. I keep saying costumes. They just look. Their astronaut suits look like. Like if you showed up
like out of the box, the Halloween costume out of the box,
like a Ben Cooper mask. If you were to show up at a Halloween costume. Wearing this exact
you're
thing.
You're not going to win any prize.
You would win nothing. Yeah. SpaceX. There's a piece of art made of gold, brass, and aluminum that they're sending up into space that's meant to signify how far the program has come and how far humanity has to go in exploring the cosmos.
I don't know how good I feel about this.
There will also be a mosaic of more than 100,000 photographs from 2020 graduates from all over the world. The composite image will make up an image of the planet Earth. That's something else that they're putting up in this rocket. I just had this feeling yesterday, like, it's going to blow up, and this will be another thing to add to the pile of 2020. So I hope I'm wrong. I have a feeling that we dodged a bullet, and by not doing it yesterday,
mm-hmm.
Hopefully things
yesterday
go.
Yesterday was not the day.
I've just got this overwhelming sense of dread, like this isn't going to end well.
Well, maybe you won't be paying attention on Saturday and everything will go fine.
No, I will, because the boy's very interested in watching a rocket launch, and I'm a nerd for all this space stuff, so I'm all into it. So yeah, we'll watch it live, assuming the weather's good down there.
All right.
But if it isn't, then scrap it again. But yeah, the rocket is just...
Let me know.
It feels very...
Let me know how it goes.
It seems very thrown together. Like it's community theater space program.
Well, we'll see.
7:30.
I wish him the best.
Yeah, for sure wish him the best. I don't want the thing to blow up. I want to go on the record as saying that. But if it does, I'll be the last person who's surprised by it.
Don't be a jinx.
I'm not trying to be a jinx, but if this thing blows up, are you going to be shocked, given what we've been dealing with?
I'm going to commit to radio silence during the weekend, and you tell me how things go on Monday.
Number four.
Are you someone that enjoys roller coasters? Do you like thrill rides?
Yeah, they're okay. I don't go out of my, I like them fine.
Right. You're not an enthusiast.
No.
You're not someone who travels the country and has a blog about their roller coaster experiences.
No. And I remember being a little kid going down to the Six Flags, and they had at the time what was, I think, one of the bigger roller coasters in the country. Mm-hmm. Certainly the biggest one they had there, which was called the Screaming Eagle.
Yeah, right.
I didn't want a part of that. I wasn't ready for it.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't even 10. It was just like, I don't know, I just can't do it.
Yeah, I was not quite 6 when my old man took me on Space Mountain.
Yeah.
And I puked all over the place. But one of my earliest memories is screaming and being dragged up the ramp to get on the roller coaster.
See,
like, I remember anchoring myself, and he was just too powerful. I was like, no, we're doing this. I'm not riding this thing by myself. Yeah. You're coming with me.
What? Why?
Because your brother's too.
See,
you have to ride with me.
We begged my dad to take us to Six Flags in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And he wasn't having it.
No.
But he finally, okay, we'll go.
Yeah.
He went. And he was the one that we couldn't drag out of the park.
Yeah, that's how it always
works. He was the one that had to go on every ride and was just, or a second time. And we're all like, okay, that was fun. Let's go home. Well, the park's not closing yet.
My son Owen is 11, and he likes going on the rides.
Uh-huh.
But he's a real stickler for this. And I don't know, I think this is just how some people are wired. His thing is, I'm going to go on that ride. I'll go on a roller coaster. I'll go on the big rides at the fair. But I ain't making any noises. His whole thing is, I don't scream.
Oh, I'm not a screamer?
I will not scream when I'm on a ride.
I don't either.
He goes out of his way.
I mean, I don't know that I consciously...
Right?
I don't scream.
We go on like the rides at Modern Woodman Park for River Bandits games. Those things that spin you up and upside down. I mean, those are thrill rides, and people scream. I scream, and he just sits there with his mouth wired shut. And then he'll get off the ride and go, I didn't make a peep. Do you see that? I didn't make one noise for that ride.
No, you know what? I would probably enjoy them even more if I made noises.
Yes.
But I don't know that I do.
And I'm not here to tell anyone how to enjoy anything. If he wants to keep his mouth shut on a roller coaster, that's his business. That's the enjoyment he gets out of it. He'll get off a roller coaster and be like, I didn't make one noise on that ride.
I guess,
everyone else was screaming, not me. No, I didn't make one noise.
I guess I'm not very carefree on a roller coaster. That it's like, let's just have a good time. I get on the roller coaster, and while the roller coaster is doing its roller... And it's coasting. I'm like, is everything going okay?
Right.
is everything working the way it's
supposed
to?
Something to be said.
Is everything working?
Walking off the roller coaster when it's done, like, okay, that happened, and I'm safe now.
I enjoyed that. Right. That was fun.
That's part of the thrill. When it's over, you can go. Done.
I can't say that I get on them and I'm completely carefree.
I'm not making a noise. listen to this. I'm not making one peep when I'm on a roller coaster. And what makes it nerve-wracking for me as a parent is he's sitting next to me on a roller coaster and he's not making any noise, so it doesn't look like he's having any fun.
Right. Or has he passed out?
Right.
Or, you know. Right. Do I have a medical situation?
He went on, there's the ride they have at the Mississippi Valley Fair called the Genesis, and it's one of these zipper things that takes you round and round. And he'll get on it, and I'll watch, and the look in his face is just stone face, right? So when you look at the picture, and you see 12 people on a ride laughing,
yes,
making noises, and then he's just like, he's in the astronaut program or something, or he's like...
Right.
And then he'll get off
the
ride.
He's trying to be a good astronaut.
But that's it. He enjoys not making any noise. Yeah. And I wonder if any of you feel similar. No. The text line is probably the best way to reach out.
I probably 470-23. I should make more noise and enjoy it more. It's not that I don't enjoy it, but I'm always like, all right, this. Staying on the rails, right?
I don't think there's any wrong way to enjoy a roller coaster. That's not what I'm suggesting.
Yeah.
But I'm bringing this up because the Disneyland in Tokyo is deciding that they're going to open up again.
Mm-hmm.
And in the modern times that we're living in, and I'll say it, unprecedented times, Darren, they're saying when we open up the park, everybody, we can't have anyone screaming on the rides.
Mm.
Because that screaming,
yeah,
is where all of the droplets come out of your mouth.
Yeah, I get it.
Japan at Tokyo Disneyland, they're saying, and Osaka's Universal Studios Japan, they've been closed since late February. They are going to reopen, but they're saying as part of the guidelines to prevent the infection
How do you prevent that? Get off the roller coaster?
You're making too much noise. We had to stop the roller coaster and kick you off in the middle of the ride. Yeah, the policies are, you know... You cap, it makes sense you would cap admission. Like, we're only going to let half the people into Disney World or
half
Disneyland.
Capacity, right, or whatever it is.
Right. They will also be checking your temperature when you get into the park. Mm-hmm. And if you have a fever, they will deny you admission. That makes sense. They're also asking all guests at Tokyo Disneyland there to wear masks while they're inside the park. That makes sense. They also will keep windows and doors to all the indoor attractions open for better ventilation. Okay, that's just letting letting all the air out.
Yeah, that wouldn't affect me so much.
Roller coasters and conveyance-style attractions, this document reads, have guests wear masks and urge them to refrain from shouting and screaming. My argument here is shouting and screaming on a roller coaster is an involuntary thing.
Yeah.
Keeping your mouth shut is something that you have to really will yourself to do.
That's probably true.
I can't ride a roller coaster and not
scream.
Not go, whoa! I can't.
Whoa!
I don't make clown noises.
Oh! I'm just, I can't, I get all weird.
Right? That's not how it
No,
works.
I am not the guy in the front cart with my hands up in the air.
Yeah, hands up in the air is something that I will do if I feel I can get away with it. More often than not, though, I'm just holding on for dear life. Just regretting the hour I spent in line waiting to get on this damn thing and really looking forward to the moment.
See, Rhonda, she just does. She can't do it.
Roller coasters?
Yeah, she can't. Or any sort of rides like that at all.
Yeah.
It just messes with her equilibrium in such a way that she is just like a wreck. And she did it. The last time we did it, she did it. She got on one of these rides because her son was going to be on the ride. She wanted to, I want to be a good soldier.
Right.
I want to get on this ride. I think it was like the Superman up at, up in Gurnee.
Yeah, Great America. Sure.
Great America. And she got on that thing. And she was done for like a day and a half. Hey, we're done.
It can do a number on you.
Yeah. Does a number on her.
Here's a text that says, I couldn't not make a sound. That's impossible. Your son is nuts. Roller coasters are supposed to induce screams. Yeah. I mean, don't they even have names? Like,
Son is nuts.
I don't know that I care for that. I don't know that I care for that. I mean, but the roller coaster you were just telling us about, it's called the Screamin' Eagle.
Yeah. What it's called.
Here's an eagle that knows how to keep his mouth shut.
Yeah.
Nobody's getting on that
ride. It's not called the Clam.
I didn't make one noise. Did you see that? You see how I was on the roller coaster? I kept my mouth shut. Yeah, well, maybe do that on the ride home. That would be fun. I kid. He is a little nuts.
He's nuts.
It's my guy.
Five.
Number five.
Let's go to America's Wang for this one. It's Florida in the news.
Florida.
Where the cops are on the lookout for someone who spent an entire day vandalizing a high school down there. The Miramar Police Department, that's in the Miami portion of the state, right? Miramar is a suburb of Miami. Miramar Police Department is asking for the public's help identifying a guy who did, they think, $100,000 worth of damage to the high school.
Yeah, I can see where high schools, there might not be a ton of people hanging out at the high school. I'm not saying no one's there.
Upwards of $100,000 in damages this guy did. And what's interesting about this story, not only do you have some nightmare doing vandalism to the tune of $100K, he was completely naked the entire time, except for the headphones that he was wearing.
I got to have my Beats.
Spent the entire day vandalizing the school while naked. They do have one picture of him that they're able to share where he's looking up at one of the cameras.
Now, is this a school that he attended? Is this revenge?
We don't know.
Or is this just random?
They're asking you to identify him, and if you are able to identify him, Crime Stoppers down there is willing to give $3,000 for somebody to flip on this guy. They don't know who he is.
Oh, they don't have him.
No. Just walking around naked, vandalizing the school, spent the entire day, broke into the school on Monday around 8 o'clock in the morning, and spent the entire day just causing significant damage to the high school.
That's the genius of it all. Naked with headphones,
mm-hmm.
That description, that could be anyone in Florida.
That's a great call. You want to hide in plain sight in Florida, take off all your clothes and put on a pair of headphones.
Right, and maybe get into a staring contest.
Then there's this story from Australia. Australia is like Florida, but it's a continent. Imagine just a continent full of Floridians. That's Australia. New South Wales. There's a story here of a sex fantasy machete mix-up. Two men were hired to carry out a stranger's sexual fantasy of being tied up while clad in his underpants. Here's the problem. He paid these guys to come to his house and tie him up in his underpants.
Yeah.
They went to the wrong address.
Oh, no.
Two guys.
So he's sitting there waiting while someone's being terrorized.
They're getting my fantasy
What's
for free.
What's all that screaming?
Two men hired to carry out a stranger's sexual fantasy of being tied up while clad in his underpants went to the wrong rural address down there in New South Wales in Australia.
We are so sorry.
They went with machetes, but it says here they politely left after they realized their mistake. Does everyone in Australia just have machetes? The whole that's not a knife, this is a knife gimmick? Is that an entire... That's all they do, right?
He requested the machetes?
One of the men is from Sydney, Terrence Leroy. He's been found not guilty in the district court down there of entering the home intending to intimidate while armed with an offensive weapon. Describing the facts of the case as usual.
Well, no, I was hired to do this. This is
the judge saying that they had not excluded the reasonable possibility that he entered the house as part of a lawful plan to carry out a sexual fantasy. They carried the machetes either as a prop or something to use in the fantasy, and the fantasy was unscripted, so there was no discretion as to how it would be carried out. So I don't think that underpants guy said machetes should be part of it. These guys kind of did that on their own. Like, why would he go along with the tying up? I know, we'll bring machetes.
So the lawyer
mm-hmm.
is using the excuse that we could have been in some serious trouble if there'd have been a script and we didn't follow it. But being that this is an unscripted performance.
According to statements that were tendered there at the trial, this guy living in western New South Wales wanted to be tied up and have a broom handle rubbed around his underwear. He was willing to pay $5,000 if it was, quote, really good, end quote. That seems like you should have a set price.
Yeah, no, and that seems like you need to be a little bit more specific as to how. No, we're getting paid a specific price for doing what we're going to do.
The would-be client had a history and proclivity for engaging the services of people, according to the police.
So do they say how far off they were as far as the houses?
Well, they made arrangements on Facebook, right? They made arrangements on Facebook for these guys to come and engage in the role play. He sent his address, which he later updated after he moved.
So he gave him the wrong address.
A resident living in the same street as the first address noticed some light coming from his lounge room when he got to go to the bathroom. So this guy moves. He sets everything up for them to come and tie him up in his underpants and rub a broomstick around his underpants. $5,000 if it's really good. He then moves. These guys go to the old house. This guy's getting up to go to the bathroom. He's like, why is that light off? And then he assumed that it was a friend of his, the guy that ended up getting the...
Who's in his old house?
He must have sold the house. A resident living in the same street as the... Oh, same street as the first address. Okay, so they go to the wrong street and they go to the wrong house. Right, you're right.
No, they go to the right...
He assumed it was a friend who came every day to make coffee. And he said, hey, it's too early, man. Get out of here. You can't make coffee. After hearing a voice ask if his name was that of the intended client, the resident turned on his bedside light, took off his sleep apnea mask, and saw two men standing next to his bed. They carried machetes. They started to leave after he told them his name, which was not the same name as the intended client.
Okay, so it didn't go very far.
One man apologized, saying, sorry, mate, and then shook the resident's hand. The other said bye, and they drove off. This guy called the cops, which is probably a good thing to do. When the men and the driver arrived at the correct address, the would-be customer noticed that one had a great big knife in his pants, which he put in the car after being told, don't bring that inside. They had coffee, and the client made bacon, eggs, and noodles. What is going on with this? There's so many twists and turns. Police turned up and found the machetes in the car. The lawyer down there, the barrister is what they call him down in Australia, successfully submitted that the entry was for a non-criminal purpose. It was a commercial agreement, Your Honor, to tie up and stroke a semi-naked man in his underpants with a broom.
So he tells him to leave.
Yeah. And they do.
They leave.
Yeah.
But then he invites him back in?
No, different guy.
A different guy.
It's a very confusing story.
Okay.
Yeah. No. They get to the right address.
I like the idea of involving some noodles for breakfast.
That's your takeaway from this story. Why not? Bacon, eggs, and noodles. I don't hate that idea.
I don't hate that idea. I haven't had breakfast today. Probably not gonna get to it.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
I guess that's it for this episode of Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. I learned a lot.
Not bad.
Thanks so much for listening. And extra special thanks to the good folks at Capriani's for making it possible.
That's right. Sandwiches, soups and salads, cold and hot subs, and cap specials, including the Bobby. Get your own Bobby. Don't be touching Dave's. The turkey, the cranberry sauce, homemade dressing, and mayo. Voted the greatest sandwich in America. Capriati's extraordinary food for those unwilling to settle.
Till we get a chance to do another one of these for you, I believe the next episode will have a visit from Amazing Larry.
It should, if everything goes the way it's planned.
Okay. I like how you're hedging your bets there.
No, I have every reason to believe that Larry will make the top 5 things.
I guess we're about to find out. Until then, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock Island, come on. And it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Wait!